This is the IC Pixels podcast with David and Anthony Cavins. We're going to talk about design in everyday situations.
In the Nikes on my feet, keep my cipher complete. Like, in the Nikes on my feet, keep my cipher complete.
What are those? That's the name of our episode. It was inspired by a meme that I saw. It was a picture of Klay Thompson of Splash Brothers fame from the Warriors. And he's got a contract with a company called Anta. And there's a picture of him, and he's like sitting there kind of looking at the shoe like, looking kind of disappointed. I don't know if he's really disappointed, but it just looked like it from the picture. And there, a bunch of people made jokes about it and stuff like that. Like he didn't really like him. But then I saw the meme that inspired this podcast. What we want to talk about is basically alluding to the fact that programming makes you like a shoe, because they had a picture of the shoe and they changed the logo on it. They had a Jordan logo on it. They had a Nike check on it. They had an Under Armour logo. And for some odd reason, they had a Champion logo on it. And their whole point was like, everybody's going to like the one with the Nike on it because it looks better. So what I wanted to talk about, it's not... the point of the meme was that it is all programming and, you know, it's a conspiracy and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But my thoughts on it, it is programming, but also... The reason why the Nike check looks better on there, the reason why people like it better, is because it's a really good logo compared to the other logos.
Yeah, I have to agree. Programming definitely plays a part in it. You know, we've all kind of grown up around Nike and their shoes and the, you know, people's opinions about those shoes and all that stuff. So that definitely plays a part in why I particularly like Nikes myself. I've never owned any of those other brands of shoes, Under Armour's or any of those other things. I mainly own Nike. And that's partly due to peer pressure from your peers saying, like, what are those when you're wearing something whack, or if you're wearing something that isn't a name brand. So, yeah, programming definitely plays a part. But I think the Nike design is actually a good design.
Well, I guess we could talk about where it came from, the source of the Nike design, and then we can talk about the other logos, except for Champion. We all know why nobody wants Champion shoes. But so Nike was developed by a lady named Carolyn Davidson. She's a student at Portland State University. She designed it in 1971. She got paid $35 for it.
Oh, wow.
But she was later given stock in the company, which is now worth $643,000. So, I mean,
I think she'll be all right. Shout out to Carolyn.
She'll be okay. But yeah, definitely. We charge more than $35 for logos. Just, you know,
well, I remember when I first started, I would definitely have, well, maybe not 35, but I definitely charge people $50 for a logo.
I've done logos for 35. I mean, it.
But I would hope. But the thing is, it was not a Nike. It was just,
no,
like, you know, somebody's bootleg record like that. And so I never heard back from them, and never got stock or nothing like that.
Well, she was a student at the time, so I mean, that's kind of one of those things. I mean, I don't know that they were trying to take advantage of her or blah. I don't know, but I didn't do all of my research, but, you know, I mean, that happens when you're a student. You just want money. You're just like, you'll take it, get $35. All right, cool. This, you know, this may have been her first design, you know, that somebody, she sold to somebody or something like that. And if your first design out the gate is a Nike, then
yeah,
that's a good look. You don't really got to put nothing else on your resume. Just put that Nike check on there and be like, I did this. Like, oh, okay, all right. I mean, what else do you need? I mean, nobody cares. So,
yeah, I mean, probably hit her with the, you know, we would pay you more, but this is a good way to build your portfolio. You know, this will get you more exposure. I mean, I guess technically they were right, because I would never know who she was if it wasn't for Nike. But, you know,
Yeah, I mean, but
when JoJo's record label tries to hit you with that same line, like, yo, you need to do this to get some exposure and build your portfolio.
JoJo Simmons?
I don't even know who that is.
Diggy's brother.
Oh.
Run's son.
Yeah, it's too bad I don't care about that. But anyway. Okay. Yeah,
Angela's brother? Oh.
Is that the same Angela that was in the DMs?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I made the connection. Well, back to whatever we were talking about. But the logo, I feel like, in my opinion, I think one reason why I think the Nike logo actually works better than like Champion, Under Armour, and some of those is that Nike, I don't know how they started. Did they start with shoes or whatever? But
I think it was a running shoe that started.
Well,
their thing.
We don't need to verify that. We'll just go with it. But their logo seemed like it was designed to work well on athletic gear, not just I'm mainly talking shoes, but obviously it works on clothing and apparel because they have it on there. But it's a logo that works well within the space of a shoe. Whereas if you think about like Under Armour or Champion or some of the others, their logo obviously can fit on a shoe and fits within the canvas, you could say.
Yeah. But
I feel like with like an Under Armour logo or like Reebok's new logo or some of the other logos out there, a lot of times the design of the shoe, it's not easy to blend the design of the shoe with the logo. Because a lot of times, like when I'm designing something, I want the logo to not look like I just slapped something on top of a different design. Like if you look at you were talking to me about some Adidas, I forgot what they were called, but there were some Adidas, and even Under Armour shoes, if you look at them, there's like flowing lines and motion in the design of the shoe, and then there's this thing that looks like a bug or a spider that just got slapped on top of it.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it's not that bad. Like if you have a monochrome design where it's all one color, it's not as noticeable. But,
yeah, but that shouldn't be the goal of the company where you're stuck in a place where you have to hide your logo, basically. I mean, it's like, okay, well, yeah, let's put it on there, but let's make it one color so they can barely see it, but they know. I mean, because, yeah, Under Armour, like you mentioned, I mean, a lot of their stuff, it's just slapped on the side. I mean, the shoe doesn't look bad, but then they slap it on the side, and it's like, what is that? Yeah. Like, why did you put it right there? And I mean, the best placement for it is, like, on the back of the shoe, on the tongue, anywhere where not on the side, because, the shoe is shaped like a triangle almost. You know, it's got that, like, swooping shape to it because of the way human feet are shaped. And something like a Nike check or Reebok's previous logo before they went to the Wackness, Adidas, their three stripes, Puma, Asics, Saucony, K-Swiss. I mean, the point is, all of them, they kind of have, a lot of them have logos that work well on the side of a shoe. But now, I don't know why recently we've got more companies like that are developing logos that don't work. Like Reebok, who had a logo that was different, they changed it now to something that looks like you could Google any corporate energy company and you would find the logo that they made. And it's just slapped on the, I don't know what they're trying to do. I mean, I don't know if it was because of Rick Ross or what, but they...
Rick Ross, they were like, we're
yeah, they completely like...
Changed the logo and everything.
Yeah, they say...
No more urban sales.
They said they're like, focused on like fitness or something like that now. I mean, but I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I guess they're trying to compete with Under Armour, but I'm like, really?
If I was trying to compete with Under Armour, I wouldn't change my logo to something worse than Under Armour's logo. Well, so yeah. What I'll say about both of those logos, Under Armour and Reebok, is that neither of them kind of communicate motion or activity to me.
Yeah.
Nike's logo, the font is italic, the swoosh, it all conveys motion and doing something. Adidas has it's like the bars on your phone, kind of. Adidas logo does not necessarily indicate motion strongly to me, but it's okay.
It looks good on a shoe. It
just looks... Asics and some of those other brands, they have a swoosh type of something going on in their logo, indicating motion, because all these are athletic shoe companies.
Yeah.
So I think Under Armour, it's literally just a U and a A, and Reebok is a triangle.
Yeah. I think Puma's works well. I mean, in another company that I think would fall into that category of logo that's kind of awkward on a shoe is Fili. I mean, I don't know if anybody's checking for Fili recently. I mean,
I haven't seen it but, in the store, but I mean, I don't go to sneaker stores that often either.
Aside from Raekwon, I think he was mentioning it a couple of years ago, but, but yeah, I mean, they were hot. I mean, I like their logo. I mean, it's like the F. It looks like, I mean, they got the whole thing. Like, I remember we used to sit around and draw it all the time because it's a cool looking logo with their name and everything. But it suffers from the same thing. You put it on the side of a shoe, it looks crazy. Yeah. It's just like a stamp on there, and it doesn't have any kind of motion.
And a shoe is like the design of a shoe is almost always going to have motion.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of sweet lines. It's not many rectangles or squares. Like the Fila logo works well within a square, but I haven't seen too many with square feet. Too many people with square feet. Because if you look at the at least if you look at the Filas that I like over the years, like some of the stack houses, not all of them.
The Grand Hills,
and that's about it. On those shoes, they distorted the logo in order to make it kind of look better. And I feel like somebody at Fila Corporate was probably like, man, why we got to distort our logo for this shoe? I mean, obviously it worked out for them because those shoes were pretty popular. But from a branding perspective, I would say, and a design perspective, you shouldn't have to distort your logo to make it look good. Your logo
should
look good in the places you plan to put it.
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, kind of to segue into another company, the Grant Hills, the Stackhouses, some of those, they're designed by a guy, I forgot his name, it's like David something with an R. But
his name is David, he's got to be good.
I don't know. He has a company now called Brand Black. And I mean, those designs and Fili, they were really good. And it makes sense because the Brand Black, they're designs, they're like a newer company, but their shoes are designed really well. I did some research, and by research I mean I scrolled all the way to the bottom of their Instagram, and I could see kind of the design process as it developed over time and the things that they stuck to. Because I noticed like one thing, well, for one thing, okay, there we go, it's like looks like the fin of a airplane, back fin of an airplane or something like that. But they do not make an effort, like a lot of companies, to design the shoe around the logo, like the logo being the central like design element. Because Nike does that, Puma does that, Adidas does that, a lot of companies do that. It's like the logo is integral to the look of the shoe.
I think that can work if you have a strong logo or logo element.
Well, Nike has
there's a strong element in their logo that you can use to build a shoe around. And like, I know we were talking a while back about those Pippins that had the big air on the side. Those are actually some of my favorite shoes.
Yeah.
But it's because they have strong elements that work well to design around. But
yeah, I mean, and that
your
was
logo
just...
with Under Armour, I don't think you're gonna see many shoes where they design around the Under Armour logo. They're gonna slap that joint on top.
Yeah, I mean, because it's just not gonna work on the side of it. That would look crazy. I mean, in the Nike, the air thing, those Pippins, I mean, that mostly worked because it was like, who does that? Like, what? This is crazy. You know, I mean, it worked. It was like, that's unique, you know, and that's why it worked. It just looked interesting. I mean, and I think that's an interesting thing. I mean, like, talking about, like, speaking about Brand Black in that way, I mean, it's like their whole thing seems to be focused more on the design of the shoe and some, like, elements that they include in every shoe. Like, they got this some kind of, like, raised triangle action thing going on all the newer shoes or whatever. And it's like, but that's their thing, and it's kind of interesting to see that balance of a company that isn't so focused on plastering their logo and everything. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. I was thinking about it. It may be a bad example, but I was like, they're like the Kenneth Cole of like athletic stuff. You know, it's just like, it's a not good stuff. I mean, because they have clothes and stuff too, and it looks good, but it's like, you know, their logo isn't like, you have to look for their logo. It's not like the central element, like, oh, you know, I'm plastering a logo on it. I mean, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, shout out to them. I don't have any other shoes yet, but they're supposed to be really good. But another
I was going to say the company it, like in, from, I was while we're talking about the design, I think what happens if you look at shoes over years, I haven't looked at shoes that many years. It's only been like 20 some years I've looked at shoes or cared that much, but probably less than that. But companies kind of follow each other in terms of design. Like, you know, right now it's popular to make like those shoes that are basically like socks with a sole on them.
Yeah.
The Prestos and the those Adidas, like the Yeezys and all that stuff. So what happens is companies try to follow each other. They have to force their logo to work in whatever design is popular now or whatever kind of style is popular now. Like, so like Adidas, like their logo actually happens to work in that style. It works on shell toes. It kind of worked on some of the Kobe's back in the day when Kobe was with them or whatever. So it's worked on a lot of the designs that have been popular. So they've been able to maintain like some popularity in the market. Like, but like the topic of the podcast, we were talking about Nike. Nike's logo just happens to work well on a whole lot of stuff that has been popular. And so, you know, every time a new style of shoe comes out or a new style, like aesthetic or whatever you want to call it, becomes popular, Nike can easily get in there because their logo will work on that design. Whereas like Fila, they were having to distort their logo and put bubbles and all kinds of other weird stuff on the side of their shoe to get their logo in there because it didn't work with the aesthetic that was popular at the time. So that's just another thing where it goes back to like Nike just has a strong logo that works well in the environment where they want to use it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's other ones where, I don't know, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking from that perspective, there's probably times where other companies may have chosen to fall back because they couldn't get their thing to work with the thing that's popular. You know what I'm saying? Like Skechers probably wanted to design some hot, like some Yeezy Boost type shoes, but they were like, "Nah, we gotta fall back because our logo just
Yeah, they've got like that like S. I mean, I don't know. I do have some Skechers running shoes that are kind of nice. They're really comfortable.
I won't buy nobody.
I rock them all the time.
You got like some shape ups.
They're Go Bionic. They're really nice running shoes or whatever. I mean, I did a lot of I do a lot of research on something and then get something. I was like running more back then, and no, I mean they worked great. I mean, and I still wear them every once in a while. I mean, but yeah, I mean
you
I
got some lugs still too.
No. I don't think I ever had lugs, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just wanted that's what I wanted. I mean, I wanted something good, and they were like, I had the best reviews. I like do a lot of research, and that goes back. And I mean, that can tie into like your branding, why somebody would be programmed by a company if your brand has a, you know, a solid history of making quality stuff, then people are gonna, you know, keep on buying into it. I mean, I never thought Skechers had a decent running shoe until I watched a bunch of reviews. And I was like, cause I was looking at Nikes and I mean, I tend to be Adidas leaning most of the time, but based on the reviews, the Skechers were the best for the money. And I was like, all right, let me check them out. And I loved them.
Well, I think it is programming on some level, because I was telling somebody, it was in a different type of conversation, but we were talking about like how we met our wife or how we met our wives or girlfriends or whatever.
And our wife.
Well, he was telling me how he met his wife, and I was telling him how I met my wife. And okay. In the discussion, he was on some BS, just honestly. He was talking about, well, I met her and I saw she had a nice personality and she was a great person and she had strong goals. And so I became attracted to her and I decided to holler. And I was like, yeah, I don't believe
you. He just saw her on IG and then
I slid on them DMs. But I told him, like, okay, that sounds good. I you're saying what sounds good, but I don't think that's necessarily true. Because honestly, if you don't look good, I'm probably not going to find out about your personality. Because why would I want to? And that may sound shallow, but it's kind of the same thing for shoes. Like, if a shoe doesn't look good, like, Skechers may have some wonderful basketball shoes or whatever, but they look like crap, so I'm probably not going to wear them. And
you haven't looked at Skechers. I mean, they don't make basketball shoes, but you haven't actually looked at them. Honestly, there's a Skechers store here. I mean, their running shoes and all that look like else's running shoes, honestly. to be completely, they look like that. But no, I mean, and that, I mean, I don't think it's shallow to say that. I mean, because something has to attract you to, I mean, people are attracted to many different things. Yeah, so, yeah. So, I mean, but it has to start somewhere. I mean, there's people out there that like some of those ugly Jordans that I hate.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's something that attracted them to it. I don't know if it was just the branding or whatever, but they're ugly.
The other thing is that, like, at least I can say with Nike and most of the other major companies, they do a lot of marketing and stuff like that. So if I see a shoe somewhere, I can also see what it's going to look like on my foot because I can see other people wearing it. I can see they may have a lookbook or something like, or their advertisements or a basketball game. I can see professional athletes wearing it. So then I can kind of get a perspective on what it looks like. And it's all peer pressure and programming there, but I think also design has something to do with it because they design a shoe that actually looks good and they then market it in a way where I'm kind of programmed to like it even more in addition to the fact that it actually looks good.
Yeah.
When I was in elementary school, I had a couple shoes that actually looked pretty good, but they were not name brand. They were from Payless or Shoe City or somewhere like that. And people would see them and come to me like, hey, what kind of shoes are those? Those are hot. And then they find out they're from Payless, and then they
like, change their mind.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. Oh, those are kind of lame, son. What is that? Why don't you get you some LA Gears or some Reeboks or whatever? So I think the design obviously plays a part, a big part.
Yeah, design, the history, and I mean function, and you know, I mean, all that together is what goes into programming or branding or building brand loyalty, I guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm loyal to a specific brand. I tend to have more Adidas than anything else. But, I mean, I also bought some Nikes recently, but I ended up buying Adidas later for the same. I don't know. I mean, but it's just, you know, what you like. I mean, I don't know. Do what you want. I mean, as long as you're open to try other things, I mean, just, you know, just don't feel like you're a slave to a brand just because, you know, you own a couple of them and they, you know. Some people come up, I mean, you know, not talking about shoes, but think about a company like Hyundai. They used to be whack like in the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. But now it's like a really good car and it came up. So,
yeah, I mean, Adidas is doing the same thing because I would say like when I was in college was the last time I really saw people wearing Adidas that much. I mean, it's always cool to wear like some shell toes or whatever. Shell toes. But other than that, there weren't really any like Adidas that it was like cool to own for real, for real.
Yeah, not back then, no.
And not even recently that I know of until.
No. I mean, Kanye brought that all back. I mean, and so many people. I don't know. There's so many shoes that now Adidas is like right there, like giving Nike a run for their money because, which goes into another thing. Company like Nike, because they have their brand loyalty, because they have the reputation and everything and the names and everything to back them up, they were able to charge premium prices for things that weren't necessarily premium.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a company like Adidas that comes along and Under Armour and their stuff, you can get better quality for, you know, in some cases half the price, and that forces a brand of like, okay, well, we need to lower the thing because somebody else is coming in here stepping on our toes. We can't just rely on our name, basically. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing how that goes and just how programming and branding plays a part, you know, in what we choose to buy, what we're attracted to, and what you get joked on for wearing.
Well, that's just peer pressure, but yeah, if any other company was known, it's just not wearing something known, I guess, is what people laugh at you for the most part. Because honestly, there are some Nikes and Adidas or whatever that are ugly, but people recognize the brand. So as soon as they see the brand, they're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you got the same brand as me, so you're okay. I won't laugh at you too much. But now, after going through all that, how can this apply in general to design? if you were, you know, hypothetically like designing a logo for someone, how would you apply all this?
Well, some of it depends on the company because, you know, like somewhere like Nike, like we're saying, their logo works really well on a shoe. To be quite honest, it looks kind of funny when it's just by itself on a shirt. You don't think that because you're so familiar with it, but it looks kind of funny when it's just a check on a shirt. It's kind of like, what is that? Because it looks like really good on a shoe. That's like what it was built for. So it kind of depends on the company, like what they're doing. And the thing I always ask people is like, what message are you trying? What kind of story are you trying to tell with this logo? What do you want people to think about? You know, what's the feeling that you want to get out of get out when people look at it? I mean, and that's the same thing with people naming their company and all that. But a lot of times you know, they've already picked a name by the time they come to us, and we've got to make a logo for Jenny's hotcakes and soda, and it's nothing we can do about it. So at that point, you just kind of work with it. So I mean, that's how I'd apply it. I mean, I think that's how I would apply it to, you know, an actual person. You know, be mindful of what message you're trying to get across, what you think could come in the future for your brand.
Yeah. I think that's what I was going to say is, like, it seems like some of these brands may have started, like Under Armour, I know, started with just the apparel side of things. And I don't know if their plan was always to get into shoes, but now they're into shoes and their logo doesn't work that well on a shoe. So I would say, in addition to like the things you mentioned, I would also say, like, obviously what you're trying to communicate, what type of, but also where is this going to be used? Is this just going to go on club flyers? Is it ever going to be on some clothes? does it need to go on a shoe? That type of stuff. Because once I know that, then as a designer, I can try and make something that kind of is, can be deconstructed, like the Nike logo, where there's the word Nike and then there's the check, and they can be used together or apart. And then they have like these kind of sub brands, you could say, like Nike Air means something and you can use that somewhere else, or Nike Air Max or Nike Air Force.
Or the one. Or the Jumpman logo.
Jumpman logo is kind of separate, but like, again.
No, but you know, when you see that, you know it's Nike.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So, yeah. That, all that applies, because I feel like probably the majority of people that create a logo, at least for smaller businesses, like, you know, their own entrepreneurial type stuff, their logo is not going to ever get to the point where it needs to be used in that many places. But if you design it well and the opportunity does come to use it in a lot more places in a diverse manner, then you have a logo that can be simplified when needed. It can be scaled up and work well. It can go in black and white and in color and like all that other stuff. Because there's been a lot of times where I've gotten requests to do a logo, but it's something that literally doesn't make sense to, like, they want a bunch of different colors. They want a logo that it's like just a lot of crap in their logo, and it's just not going to work well small, or it can't work separately as separate pieces. It can't work in black and white. Like, that type of stuff matters.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, a lot of new logos I've seen recently, it seems like, I mean, I don't necessarily say I follow design trends that heavily, but I've seen a lot of like logos with like transparencies and stuff like that in it. And the things I always think about is like, how are you going to use that in black and white? Like, how, you know, you're limiting yourself.
Yeah.
Like with that, I mean, and I don't know. Sometimes it's a good design element and everything, but other times it's like, just seems like a, you know, it's just, you know, it's like somebody was like, make it pop. And they're like, okay, let me do some transparency. And they're happy. The client's happy. They're happy. They get their money. They get their $35 and they can go home.
I feel like the black and white thing, it's obviously great if you can make the logo work in black and white. But I kind of don't feel like it's as big of a deal as it was back in the day when, like, people were faxing stuff around and there was a whole lot
of
print media going on. Because then someone might print out something and make a photocopy or whatever. But now, you can save the trees if you want to.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to work in black and white, but it may be time for an application where you want it to be one color.
Yeah, solid colors, no gradients, like putting it on a t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you can do gradients there or whatever too, but it just depends on what you're designing, what you're, you know, because some of the clients I work for, I have to create so many different elements for them, like, you know, for the website, for print and everything like that. And it's like, I have to use the logo in so many different ways that I have to make it work. And so it's good when it can work. You know, I can kick out all the color, I can add in some color, I can switch some colors if I need to, but I'll keep it within the brand. That's always a nice, you know, thing with the logo. I mean, some people
distort the logo in any way.
Yeah, I don't have to do, you know, I don't have to take liberties with it just to make it, you know, fit in there. I mean, so.
Yeah, so whether you're a designer or you're someone who's looking to get a logo designed, I think looking at other people's logos and, you know, looking at the example of like a Nike or some of these other companies we talked about is a good idea. So you can kind of get a perspective on, you know, some things you need to think about, because a lot of times people don't think about this stuff. And when then some designers don't take the time to tell their customers these things and say, hey, you need to think about this. This is why I'm suggesting you do it this way or whatever. And if you design like that, that's fine. You know, if that's what you're into, but you're kind of not serving your customer very well. And you may end up with stuff that you want to put in your portfolio. But I know when, like, there's been times when I've designed stuff without kind of giving people the right advice. And then it's not, I got paid, but it's not something I ever want to put in my portfolio because it doesn't look good. And it's a bad example of, you know, my skill set.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and that, you know, you don't want to force a designer to have to put bad stuff in his portfolio. I think that's cruel. I mean, it's just not, you know, it's not what a good person does, you know, and pay them more than $35 also.
Yeah, you're only paying $35 for logos, paying customers or people, designers, only $35 for logos, then you're definitely kind of helping the terrorists win.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, this has been episode 1 of the IC Pixels podcast. Be sure to check us out on social media. Our group account, I guess, is Alien Muffin. Oh, that's our Instagram account. It's Alien Muffin. We're also Alien Muffin on Twitter and on Facebook. If you want to follow me personally, for whatever reason, I'm on Instagram at dcave12, D-C-A-V-E-12. And I'm on Twitter. I rarely tweet, though, so Dave Cavins, I think, is my Twitter.
And, you know, make sure you also check. You can check out our websites, alienmuffin.com. I'm on Instagram as AntCave. You can follow me. I do a lot of other stuff besides podcasts. Clearly. But, yeah, it's AntCave. It's also AntCave on Twitter. And use hashtag ThoughtBody.
Please don't use that hashtag.
Don't. Yeah, okay. All right.
But yeah, be sure, like, if you enjoy what you heard today, be sure to tell a friend. You don't have to be a designer to listen. And be sure to like and subscribe and all that other stuff. Follow.
Hashtag major knee alert.
Yeah, major knee alert. Like elephant knees. We might have to edit that part out. Open up my closet to that new shoe smell. I guess I'm doing well. Smoking all the weed that I used to sell. But once my album goes in the shelves, it's going next. Tell how it's finna sell. For now, we're selling tapes out my shoebox. Any spot just set up my shop. You're mad that your girl always says that I'm hot. She buy my t-shirts, but she's spending your guap. Say what up if you see me around. Nike, yeah, separate my feet from the ground. It's just Nike's on my feet, keep my cypher complete.